To me, there is nothing more important than my family's health and well-being. We all know the quality of the air in our home is important. But did you know indoor air quality can be up to 100 times dirtier than outdoor air? I've got to tell you about Puro Air. In 30 minutes, this device will remove allergens, dust, smoke, dander, and gases from the room. Puro Air uses a stronger filter called a HEPA 14 that filters pollutants at a microscopic level and is backed by scientists from Harvard and MIT. In laboratory studies, users saw noticeably cleaner air in just 30 minutes. When it comes to babies and children, there's nothing worse than dealing with a cranky baby or child who can't sleep because of congestion. Air purifiers can help reduce congestion and improve immune system function to fight those winter colds and flus. I use my Puro Air purifiers to clean the air in my home, especially in our bedrooms while we sleep. It has a quiet, relaxing hum and cleans the air from pet dander, allergens, viruses, dust, mold, odors, and contaminants. It has four levels: low, medium, high, and sleep. And four different timer options, so you can customize it to your home and your needs. Check out Puro Air at getpuroair.com. That's GetPuroAir.com. Puro Air is the only air filter that uses a HEPA 14 filter. That's getpuroair.com. As an adult and a mom of a son, both with ADHD, I know navigating the expectations of life with ADHD can be a challenge. But finding the right care and proper tools needed to succeed can be life-changing. With the right resources, you can turn your ADHD into your superpower. Done is an online ADHD care platform that can get you all the resources you need to help manage your ADHD, online visits, refills, and a 24/7 care team made for you. Starting to take care of your ADHD is as easy as 1, taking a 1-minute free assessment to see if Done can help. 2, booking an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as today or tomorrow. 3, start receiving ongoing care, enjoy online visits, personalized treatment plan, worry-free refills, and 24/7 care. Take a free 1-minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Done for just $79 a month and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Unlock your path to better focus now at get.donefirst.com/podcast. Done. Turn your ADHD into your strength.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Your Village podcast, Parenting Beyond Discipline, the place to learn about all things parenting and get your questions answered. I'm your host, Erin Royer-Azraland. As I mentioned at the end of the last episode, today's topic is one that I get asked about at least once a week, but many times it's much more frequently, and that is around sleep and bedtime issues. I got 4 separate questions just last week around this topic, so I knew I needed to get it onto the schedule. Kids need their sleep, and parents need their alone time, so solid bedtimes and nighttimes are important for everyone. I'll talk about when new parents can expect newborns to sleep through the night, and some tips on setting up for easier success in making the transition to sleeping through the night. But babies aren't the only ones that parents can struggle with at bedtimes. Toddlers are famous for repeatedly getting out of bed at bedtime. And dare I say, kids into the elementary school years, if the boundaries haven't been set clearly. So I'll also cover some great bedtime tips for babies, toddlers, and beyond. This was a big pain point with our first child. He arrived in the world very alert, with no clue how to sleep, unless he was snuggled up on your chest, which we allowed him to do all day long, until we were ready to fall over from exhaustion at 4 months of age, and I was getting ready to go back to work. Our pediatrician kept assuring us that his sleep would stretch out, but it didn't. It actually just kept getting worse. When I took him for his 4-month appointment, I literally remember the doctor turning him over and over like he was some malfunctioning mechanical toy and he was looking for the off button. He said, "He appears to be very normal and healthy. I have no idea why he's not sleeping." This kid was literally sleeping no longer than 40 minutes to an hour each night for his longest sleep period, and then waking every 20 to 40 minutes throughout the night after that. It was torture. So if you're dealing with this, I feel for you, and I can share what I learned. I'm hoping to save others many sleepless nights. If you have a toddler who is constantly getting out of bed, then stay tuned, because after I share my infant tips, I'll get to the toddler tips next. So let's start with some really helpful background information, starting with understanding the term pediatricians and development experts call the fourth trimester. This is the first 3 months after birth when baby is transitioning from the womb to the world. When inside the womb, baby has constant feeding, warmth, and closeness. So this transition to a bright, loud world can be difficult for some babies. This is the time when you learn about your baby's propensity for sleep. Some babies are natural sleepers, while others will fight sleep at every turn. We call these babies signalers because they are easily signaled or stimulated by the world. The biggest difference between these two types of babies is the difficulty for the parents. During these first 3 months, do whatever you need to do to get your baby to sleep. Rocking, feeding, comforting. But by the time baby is 12 weeks old and at least 12 pounds, he or she is ready to learn how to sleep. At this age, most infants can sleep 11 to 12 hour stretch at night and two naps of an hour or more during the day. So how much sleep do babies need? From 0 to 3 months, babies need 16 to 18 hours a day, but it is very scattered. They are unaware of day and night, and around 6 weeks, most babies will begin to develop those diurnal, nocturnal sleep patterns, stretching out their sleep at night and being more awake during the day. From 3 to 12 months, babies need 12.5 to 14 hours of sleep in any 24-hour period. 3 to 6 months, many babies are able to nap on a schedule. But for some, it can be 7 or even 9 months before they get really good at that napping schedule. It can also be helpful to understand the difference between a sleep issue and a sleep problem. A sleep issue is an underlying physiological issue, and these are very rare in children. These are things like snoring, apnea, kicking, restlessness throughout the night, rocking themselves to sleep or head banging, or difficulty waking after a full night's sleep. But for babies, things like acid reflux and colic can obviously affect the ability to fall or stay asleep. The signs for colic is fussiness and crying all day, every day, not just in the evening, bedtimes, or during night wakings. Acid reflux also affects babies on and off throughout the day and night. So if you're seeing a lot of fussiness all day or in spurts throughout the day, that's when you'd want to have your baby checked to rule these things in or out. Whereas a sleep problem is behavioral, which means it can be addressed. These are things such as frequent night wakings. I'll share more about this so that you can set up positive habits early or recognize them and fix them if you're already setting up some bad habits, and avoid sleep problems that some parents deal with well into toddlerhood and even into childhood. So now I'll discuss the ways to lay the foundation for positive sleep habits, starting with some important bedtime guidelines, setting up good sleep associations, and bedtime routines. And I'll cover the latest research about kids' sleep and bedtime methods. So now I'm going to share some bedtime guidelines. And before the end of the fourth trimester, or 3 months of age, try putting your baby down sleepy but awake. I would start trying to do this around 8 weeks to 2 months of age. But if he or she won't have it, it's okay to feed or rock to sleep up to that third month of age. Now for all babies, 1 hour before bedtime, no rough or stimulating play, and no screen time. This includes phones, iPads, TVs, or computers. The light and movement from these devices are very stimulating and make it hard for kids' brains to settle down for sleep. And actually, the American Academy of Pediatrics, as well as several other very reputable sources, strongly recommend no screen time at all for children under age 2 anyway. If you're interested in learning more about this, be sure to check out the class on kids and media on the website, yourvillageonline.com, and I also discussed it in a previous podcast episode, so you can look back through those. Another guideline is to be sure to watch for signs of tiredness, which include losing interest in people and toys, glazed look, fussiness, excessive eye rubbing, or yawning. If you see these signs, it's important that you put baby to bed. This will most likely mean an early bedtime, around 7 to 7:30, or else you risk making baby overtired. An overtired baby can have a difficult time falling and staying asleep, and therefore can suffer from sleep deprivation, which makes it even harder for your baby to fall and stay asleep through the night. So this is a good time to share one of the questions I got last week, as my next couple of points will answer her question. Nancy from Everett, Washington, who has a 6-month-old, asks, "My baby only sleeps while being nursed, especially at night. He'll be completely asleep, and the moment I try to unlatch, he freaks out. Sometimes I can unlatch and he'll stay asleep, but once I lay him down, he wakes up, starts crying, and searching for the nipple." So what you have going on here, Nancy, is what we call a sleep association problem. A sleep association is just what it sounds like. It's whatever we associate with falling asleep. Our baby's sleep associations can fall into two categories. Those things that require the intervention of another, such as the breast, the bottle, a car ride, rocking, the swing, or self-inducing, which are things like the crib, the swaddle, the music, the white noise, maybe a pacifier, his room, or the darkness. Right now, your baby is associating breastfeeding with falling asleep, which puts a rather large burden on you. Your baby now has become reliant on breastfeeding in order to fall asleep. It may or may not be a big deal at bedtimes because you're already awake and you're there, but because everyone rouses in the middle of the night, so it may become a pretty big issue during those middle of the night wakings because he now needs your breast to fall back to sleep rather than being able to just sort of roll over and go back to sleep on his own. For a baby whose sleep association is his room, crib, or the white noise or whatever, he'll just roll back over and fall asleep without needing your intervention. But for your baby who relies on the breast to fall asleep, that means you, and only you, can help him, and it gets downright exhausting, especially if you have a frequent waker, which sounds like you do. At 6 months, your baby is more than capable and ready to sleep 11 to 12 hours straight at night. So you'll want to work on switching over that sleep association to something else. The first step in this is setting up a solid bedtime routine. In order for the routine to be effective, you'll want to make sure it is at the same time, in the same order, and the same place every night. This consistency is what builds the healthy sleep associations and habits. Make sure the last 10 to 15 minutes of the routine are in the baby's room. The routine may go something like this. You may do bath, feed, PJs, sing a song, and put your baby down to bed. Or feed, PJs, rock, songs, put your baby down to bed. Whatever you do, just make sure the feeding is early in the routine because you don't want your baby to associate feeding with falling asleep. For those who have not yet entered this stage or are just starting, learn from myself and Nancy and our lack of sleep for months. This makes the child dependent on the parent to fall asleep, both at bedtime and even more annoyingly, in the middle of the night. So set up those solid sleep associations that don't require your intervention and make sure you feed early in the routine rather than at the end. Now, for Nancy or anyone else who is dealing with what she's dealing with, this switcheroo you're going to try and pull, probably not going to go over well. So you will probably need to choose a sleep training method. I cover 4 different ones in my class on the website, so there's something for everyone. And for those who associate sleep training with crying and can't bear the thought of it, not all sleep training methods require a baby to cry. But I also feel it's important to share what research has to say about sleep training, as I'm all about the research. That's the master's degree in me talking. So here is some of the latest research around sleep in infants. The American Academy of Pediatrics has linked babies' frequent night wakings to an increase in incidences of postpartum depression, an increase in future obesity, behavior, and cognitive problems in kids. This means babies who wake frequently have higher chance of having those issues once they are older in preschool and elementary. Mark Weissbluth, MD, the author of Healthy Sleep Habits, Healthy Child, explains children who don't get enough consolidated REM sleep have shorter attention spans, so they don't learn as well. These babies also release more of the stress hormone, cortisol, setting them up for frequent night wakings and stunted naps, which perpetuates the poor sleep cycle. Then a 6-year study on sleep training completed in Australia in 2012 Hello, Australia. We actually have quite a few listeners in Australia. So I'm sharing some research from that neck of the woods in the world. And this is a great piece of research that's fairly recent. So in this study, there were three groups, two study groups and a control group. So in the two study groups, there were two different sleep training methods. And then in the control group were the group where the baby was comforted to sleep. The initial study was done when the babies were 4 months old. They were then checked at 10 months and again at 6 years. The study found no difference in the children in the three groups in the areas of mental and behavioral health, sleep quality, stress levels, or their relationship with their parents, meaning their attachment. However, the study did find that parents who use a sleep training method get better sleep, suffer less emotional trauma, and experience lower rates of postpartum depression. So here I'm going to talk about getting ready to do the sleep training. First, talk to your pediatrician and make sure baby is big enough and healthy enough, gaining weight and eating as expected.
These later years of childhood have been flying by. As a mom, I want to not just be available to my kids during these last years they have at home, but I want to feel good and have the energy I need to keep up with their schedule and my own. So my health is a top priority. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. You're not alone on your wellness journey. Every customer gets one-on-one support to help you meet your goals. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. A healthy gut positively impacts immunity, mental health, sleep, digestion, and skin health. It helps regulate digestion, immunity against bad bacteria, and improve nutrient absorption. The gut has been called the second brain because it contains more than 100 million nerve cells. It is a vitally important piece to our overall health, both physical and mental. So to make sure my gut is working at its potential, I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense to improve my digestion and nutrition absorption, boost my overall immune health, and help with sleep and stress as a bonus. Head to myeq.com and use code parenting for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code parenting at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company whose mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Our blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum, along with broken down, partially hydrolyzed proteins. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula. In addition to its patented protein blend, our formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey-to-casein ratio like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with the code parenting for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
If you're in a dual parent household, get on the same page as your partner. Decide together on the best method for your family and set up how you will divide the responsibility ahead of time. In our house, we just took turns going in and checking. And consider a developmental window, as these can make it easier or harder to sleep train. These are not set in stone, as children develop in different ways and slightly different schedules, and you know your baby best. But just keep these general guidelines in mind as you plan the best time for your family to get started, and you can see where your child might be falling in these developmental stages. So under 2 to 3 months is too young. Your baby is not ready to go long stretches and may not yet have a good diurnal nocturnal clock set up. 3 to 4 months tends to be a good time. Now, 4.5 to 5.5 months is when many babies are relishing and getting reactions from parents with cooing and smiling and gurgling. So this can make it a more difficult time as they're turning on the charm, but still a very doable time. 6 to 8 months is usually another very good window. However, around 9 months, baby learns to stand up. Many times, baby will pull up in the crib and not be able to get back down. If your baby is not yet able to put him or herself to sleep, you're now dealing with a double issue. If there's any way to sleep train before 9 months, I highly suggest getting it done. Then decide on a good day to start. A lot of parents like to start on Friday to give a good start over the weekend when neither parent has to go to work for a few days. Now this is, of course, if you have the typical office 9-to-5 Monday through Friday job. Many parents work nights or, you know, work long shifts if you're a nurse or a police officer or any other type of job. So just decide on what time frame is going to work best in your family. If one or both of you can take a vacation from work, that's even better. But as long as it is after 2 months of age, if one of the parents is going to return to work from family leave, then try to do it during that leave if you can, as long as they're, of course, over 2 to 3 months of age. Now, this was the case with us as I returned to work when my oldest was 4.5 months. So at 4 months is when we started to do that sleep training. Otherwise, I was going to run somebody over in the car. I was so tired. So now I'm going to go into the 3 different sleep training methods. Sleep training is teaching a child to self-soothe and fall asleep in his or her own space. And it is an important life skill. Now I'll cover the 3 different methods so you can decide which of these feels like the best fit for your parenting style and values. The first method is called the extinction method, and your baby must be at least 3 months old. No 2 months with this one, must be 3 months old. The method can be used at bedtime and in the middle of the night. The steps are simple. You do your bedtime routine, you put baby down, and you leave. You have faith that your baby is safe and know your baby will learn to put himself to sleep. You can do this just at bedtime and still be available in the middle of the night, since once baby learns to fall asleep at bedtime, middle of the night will improve quickly. Or you can also use the method in the middle of the night and do just one check-in during the middle of the night. The second method is called the graduated extinction method. This one is a little more involved than the previous method. And for this method, baby has to be at least 2 months old. And there are 3 different stages: bedtime, middle of the night, and nap time. It takes baby 4 to 5 nights for each stage, but you start each stage 2 weeks apart. You also can do bedtime and middle of the night together if you choose. So depending on how you implement it, the whole process will take 3 to 5 weeks. Now, this is the one that we used with all 3 of ours. Now, of course, with our first, because of his temperament and the way we had created such bad habits on top of it, the process involved a lot of crying for the first 2 nights. But by the 3rd night, through the end of the first week, the crying was minimal and he was sleeping 3 to 5 hours straight by the end of that first week. Within 3 weeks, he was sleeping 11 to 12 hours solid every single night. Now, with our twins, because they were both, first, just really good sleepers naturally, but they also had a very different temperament than their big brother, who any time of day would scream his head off if I just tried to put him down for 2 minutes to go to the bathroom or make a sandwich. And also, with the twins, we hadn't set up any of these bad habits because we learned the first time there was absolutely no crying at all once we moved them out of the co-sleeper and into their own room at 3 months of age and put them down in their cribs awake. It was easy peasy. If you want to learn more about this method along with dream feeding and how that can easily and smoothly get baby switched over to sleeping longer in the middle of the night, you can see the class on infant sleep on our website. And there's also 2 books that teach the variations of this method. Ferber, who became semi-famous and from whom the term Ferberize your baby got coined, as well as Dr. Jody Mindell's book, Sleeping Through the Night. And I don't know if either of these covers dream feeding, though. I don't even remember where I learned about that. I know a friend of mine told me about it. It was the most amazing thing ever. The 3rd method is the fading method, and this takes 6 to 7 weeks. For this one, the proponents of this method recommend keeping a sleep log for a week before starting so you can see how things are improving once you start, because it's a slow and gradual process and you might get frustrated. So if you have a log, then you could see how much improvement you've had looking back, but it's completely optional. The idea behind this method is to slowly exchange your baby's sleep associations over the next 6 to 7 weeks. This method is also covered in the class on infant sleep on our website. And there's also 2 authors who cover the method. Elizabeth Pantley wrote the No Cry Sleep Solution, and Kim West wrote Good Night, Sleep Tight. There are also a few books by an author named Tracy Hogg called Secrets of the Baby Whisperer. And I think her method falls somewhere between the graduated extinction and the fading method. So it might be some kind of hybrid, but I've never read her book, so I'm really not clear on that. But if that sounds interesting to you, be sure to check out her books and see if that's a method that sounds interesting to you. I was hoping to have time to get into a few things about toddlers and bedtime struggles, but the episode is already getting a little long, so I'll have to save that for a different episode. But if you have a specific question about a toddler or even an older child who won't stay in bed or any struggles you're having with bedtimes and nighttimes in any way, please send the question in to podcast@yourvillageonline.com. I'll be sure to create an episode around any questions that come in around toddler sleep. But I do want to answer the question that did come in this week about toddlers and beyond around bedtimes. Our next question is from Tracy in Houston, who has two toddlers and a second grader. Tracy says, putting three kids to bed every night is exhausting. It's always one more thing. I'm hungry. I have to go pee. I forgot my bear. I need a back rub. It's like a three-ring circus, and not in a good way. How do we put a stop to this? Good question, Tracy. By the time bedtime comes, we adults need and deserve this much-needed downtime. So here's the rule I like to recommend around the one more thing conundrum. So the rule is, you can either have bedtime is bedtime, or everyone gets one pass, literally only one more thing. Okay, so now you're wondering, how do I keep that from turning into two or three or 27 more things, right? What you want to do is have a talk right before you start this new bedtime rule, basically letting everyone know that bedtime has gotten out of control. You may want to have the conversation separately for the 2 and 4 year olds from the 8 year old, and then pare down the message to make it really simple for your toddlers. But now you have a choice of allowing one more thing, literally just one or none, you decide. But then let them know that's the rule from now on, and you'll be sticking to it. So say you decide to go with bedtime is bedtime, and no more requests will be granted after bedtime, no matter what. You will explain this new rule and explain your circumstances of what will happen if your child gets out of bed. So it would sound something like this. Bedtime has gotten out of hand, so we have a new rule in this house starting tonight. From now on, bedtime is bedtime. Once we, or I, tuck you in and say goodnight, there will be no more requests granted. If you get out of bed after you are tucked in, I will walk you right back to bed. I will not look you in the eye. I will not say a word. It doesn't mean I don't love you. It means it's time to go to sleep. The first 2 to 3 nights, maybe a little longer, depending on how bad the habit has gotten in your house, will be pretty rough. But once your kids understand that you mean business and you will stick to your new rule and it's not fun anymore, the behavior will change. So when your child gets out of bed, and they will test your resolve. You will do exactly that. Take your child by the shoulder and walk him or her back to bed with no eye contact and no words. Or you can say one phrase, such as, it's bedtime. No matter what your child says, you say nothing or your phrase of choice only. You can say, it's bedtime, 5 times if you want, but nothing else. That's it. If you look at your child or say anything beyond the simple phrase, you're leaving room or opening up that wormhole. Resist the temptation. Also, no yelling, no matter how frustrated you get. If you yell, your child broke you. If you take your child back to bed 20 times, and on time 21, you lose your cool and yell, I told you to stay in bed. You just set a new goal for tomorrow night, and that is 21 times. It reinforces this exact behavior you don't want to see repeated. You've probably heard that negative attention is still attention. So as hard as it can be, grit your teeth. Have a peaceful mantra for yourself that you repeat in your head. Next week, this will all be fixed. Next week, this will all be fixed. Or next week, I will have my evenings. Next week, I will have my evenings back. Repeat it to yourself. Keep yourself calm and don't react. Do whatever it takes to stay the course. Another thing to caution you on is that your child may throw out those requests that pull all your heartstrings, such as, Mom, I need a hug, or I love you, Mom. These interactions are used to manipulate and try to get you to respond. These little buggers are smart. I learned about this after having this experience myself. So this is why I shared to say things like, it doesn't mean I don't love you, it means it's bedtime, or any phrase, however it feels right for you. But you want to make it clear that these attempts to crack the door so they can shove their foot in, so to speak, will not work. Lastly, there is one thing that your child should always be allowed to get up for, and that's to use the potty. Depending on the age, they can just get up and go on their own. But if they're potty training, you've got to let them try. It won't last long, especially if you still follow the protocol of walking them to the bathroom in silence with little or no eye contact and just allow them to try and then walk them back to bed. No more goodnight, no more tuck in after that. This way, if it's a ploy for attention, you won't be playing into it and it won't last long. But it still allows the child to use the toilet if he or she really does need to go. Now, to learn more about bedtimes and sleep, you can see our website, yourvillageonline.com, where we have two separate classes, one for infant sleep, which is up to 12 months of age, where I go into much more depth on bedtime routines, sleep training methods, nap time issues related to infant sleep, like frequent night wakings and day-night reversal. And then there's another one for toddlers and beyond, where I cover information and common sleep and bedtime concerns and issues specific to toddlers and older kids, and several methods for dealing with the getting out of bed issue. The one I shared with Nancy is just one out of three or four different ways to handle that issue. So if that one doesn't work or doesn't feel right, there's several other options to go for. That's just the one that I use that worked really well for us. I'm the no-nonsense kind of mom. Lay down the boundary and follow through. If I do a lot of the other ones, it makes it too easy for them to sneak in for me. I don't do as well with those. So yes, so there's several other methods for dealing with the getting out of bed, nap time issues, when to drop naps and how, nightmares, night terrors, and other common sleep issues in these age groups. So if you'd like to see what we have coming up for episodes or submit a question, you can go to yourvillageonline.com/podcast, or you can also submit feedback and questions at podcast@yourvillageonline.com. In our next episode, I'm going to be sharing some really important information that can save a lot of heartache and pain, and in some cases, even lives. But first, let me share my personal story about how and why I decided this topic really needs to be shared. I took my oldest for his 7-year-old well visit last week. His doctor asked him what he likes to do for fun, and he said he likes to ride his bike. And his doctor said, "What do you always wear when you ride your bike?" And my son said, "My helmet." And the doctor turned to me and he said, "I have a patient in my practice who hit his head while riding his bike, and he will never be the same." And that is just so heartbreaking for me to hear. And I can tell him his doctor was heartbroken and he wants to protect all these kids in his practice. And he wants parents to know all these things that are just so important and so preventable. Well, then the other day I was out for a run and I'm running up the hill, and this is on the street. And I came up upon three boys who were riding their bikes, and I'm running along this one boy riding his bike. He's on the sidewalk. I'm on the road. And I look over and his helmet is literally halfway back his head. And I looked at this boy and I said, "You need to have that helmet down over your forehead." And he pulled it down. But the problem is the chin strap was still so loose, it was not going to be very protective if he did happen to fall down. And these boys were riding across big streets and, you know, into sidewalks, into parking lots. It made me say, I really need to teach parents about how to keep their kids safe on their bikes. Between the story from the doctor and then seeing this kid completely unprotected. I'm also a cyclist, and there was a lot of problems just in the cycling community of hearing stories about people who didn't have their helmets on properly or weren't wearing them, even worse. And, you know, getting concussions and getting brain injuries. So next week, I'm going to cover the topic of summer safety, and I'll cover helmets and other ways to keep our kids safe in the summer and while they're active outdoors. So if this is an episode that interests you or any other parents, I'm strongly, strongly going to encourage you to share this with other parents. I hope that we can keep as many kids safe this summer and ongoing as possible. So now that I'm done with my soapbox about summer safety, and I'm excited to share all of that with you next time. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we'll see you next time.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.